meeting to order. Apologize for being a little late. Prior to the meeting, we did have an executive session regarding legal matters, so announce that. This time, we would like to stand for a moment of silence and have a pledge of allegiance to the flag. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have, we're going to still do citizens' comments first.
Yes, citizens' comments, and then we'll, Mr. President, move up our presentation.
Then we'll do the presentation, okay. This time, then, we have time set aside for citizens' comments for any residents in the school district. Is there anyone who wanted to address the board this evening? Darrell, anybody else? Okay, that's fine. You come up and state your name where you reside.
Darrell Martin, I reside in Terry Hill. Children come here. Thank you for all you do for the school. Really appreciate that. I'd like to pray for you as a board and what you do here. Lord, I want to thank you for this group of men and women and their desire to serve the school district. Lord, I pray for each of their families and their relationships, their marriages, their children. I pray a blessing over them as they serve. Lord, I pray for wisdom as they walk the tightrope of pressure from government, pressure from community, or there's so many decisions, tough decisions to be made here at the school. I just pray for wisdom beyond their years and courage to make those decisions when needed and to follow through. But most of all, we pray protection over the school or the teachers, the administration, and the youth, the children. Keep them safe in every way possible, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So Lord, we honor you today. We thank you for all that you're doing in this community. We just pray a blessing over God's body, the school district. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Okay, then we'll move into the presentation, I guess. Could you introduce that?
Okay. In the program committee, we have a very unique health and feed program here in the district, one that is the envy of many, but it's pretty different. So I thought it would be nice for our health and feed department to come out and talk a little bit about the program. We hear a lot about PSSAs and the core subjects associated with PSSAs, and too often we forget that we're doing a lot of other great things in the school district and in other areas of the curriculum. So I've asked two of our folks to come out, and it looks like they brought some help with them because they couldn't handle it. I'm thrilled to see some students here too. Thanks, folks. So I'm going to turn it over to Julie Colleen, who will talk you through, again, what is a pretty unique and I think highly successful health and feed program. Please.
Is it okay if we stand over here? That way we can see everybody. Not good or bad. So we just wanted to come tonight and let you know a little bit about how we use heart rate monitors in phys ed class. Definitely, like Dr. Hollister had said, we've had many of schools come and see how our program is run. We actually just had a teacher from McCaskey come in, along with a teacher from Hemfield, to see our program. And the comment that she made was, this is dream phys ed. Do you have any job opening? So not to tune our own horn here, but just to kind of let you know, she was coming to see how we work the heart rate monitors. So she came in and watched one of those classes. So what we wanted to do is kind of explain to you how they work, why we use them, and then kind of let you see it in action a little bit. We won't make them work out too long. But all said they're sore and tired. And, you know. So we'll let you see how it actually works up on the screen. So first of all, and I did give you a handout, little bit of information. I mean, there's a ton of information out there, but just to kind of summarize what we're going to talk about tonight. So first of all, heart rate monitors, what do they measure? Obviously, they measure heart rate. But what we're looking for in class is the time in their target training zone, which would be 70% of their maximum heart rate. What we go in the red, it's okay, but if they don't feel good when they go in the red, then that's a cause for a reason to slow down. So why we use them, one of the reasons why we use them is it's the most objective form of assessment that we have in phys ed. I'm sure all of you remember being in phys ed, and maybe your teacher graded you based on sweat tests, through sweat. You know, were you, you know, breathing hard? Did you take a shower?
Yeah,
you know, do you remember
that's
that?
That's pretty high.
Oh, yeah, you got checked. So this is one of those things where it's objective. You know, you're in your zone for this amount of time. It's right there. It's not lying. The other thing that's nice is it differentiates. You know, I'm sure you also remember being in phys ed class where you felt like, you know, the star athlete got the A and the person that was uncoordinated got the D or the F. This takes that away. It says, hey, we all have different fitness levels, and based on that fitness level, this is your zone. This is where you need to work, or this is, I would say, like, relatively how hard you need to work. It's not equal, but it's fair. So one of the other reasons we use this is a challenge. Okay, we're told often that we need to increase the rigor in class, and this is one of those things that allows that. When we are in class, you know, you could look like you're running real hard, or you could look like you're not running so hard. I can remember personally a story when we first got the heart rate monitors, probably over 10 years ago, and my colleague and I were in the middle school at the time, and I remember there was a student who, when we did our fitness circuits, looked like she wasn't working real hard. And it was amazing to see when she put the heart rate monitor on, both Alan and I were like, oh my goodness, she is working hard relative to her fitness level. So it was a real eye-opener for us to be able to use this technology, which this technology has definitely advanced in the last 3 years. We've had the opportunity to kind of upgrade to this system, which is way better than the system that we had before. And it gives the students instant feedback. And they've kind of been through both sets with the watch, at least I know Chance and Taylor have been. So this is a little bit different for them.
We also use the heart rate monitors for problem solving. And the students, when we use heart rate monitors, we give them options. We try and change the options so they don't have the same opportunities each time. We use the heart rate monitors inside because they're Bluetooth and they only cover a certain range. I did, for the first time ever, take a group of students biking on Friday, put the iPad in my backpack, and we rode through New Holland. We did about 4 miles, and it worked. And I didn't know if it worked, and they kept saying, Mrs. Groff, stop, is it working, is it working? Well, I didn't want to stop because then I had to get it off the bike, get it out of my backpack. So we checked 2 miles into the ride, and then we biked back, and when we got back to the school, it was awesome. But I was pretty pumped that it worked. Now I had 8 kids with me, and they said they felt like my little chicks because they had to stay close to me, so it worked. But we had fun, and I think it was a great experience for them. They loved it, and you know, they could tell when they were going up hills and when they had to shift. They were definitely in their zone. So that was a neat experience. We've tried it outside where we're playing football. We have to stand at the 50-yard line, and you have 2 games here. But if they get too far to the end of the field, it may not pick them up. She's tried it on the track before, where when they're on the straightaways, the iPad picks them up, but then on the turns, it doesn't necessarily. So they have an option of using a phone, which she'll talk about later. But problem solving. We're giving you indoor soccer, ultimate frisbee, basketball, half court, full court, the fitness center, floor hockey. We give you all these options, and then you, as a young adult, have to choose an option that fits you best and make the decision, is this working or is this not working? So that's a great problem solving for your future. What are you going to do that's going to help benefit your fitness level? They get instant feedback, which you'll see in a minute. Their scores are up on a screen. So if you would ever come and observe this, there might be kids playing soccer in the far gym, and they run over, check their name on the wall, and then they run back and play, and then they run back. So they want to know where they are and if it's working. So they can see instant feedback. Oh, my goodness, I have 2 minutes in the zone. We've been going for 10 minutes. I need to switch my activities. And they can move to another area. Then the last thing is we have them analyze their results. After every session, and Carice can talk to you about this, we especially do this with our ninth graders. We call them all in, we look at the screen, we look at all the results, and we say, now, how do you feel about your performance today? Did you do something that got you your 40 minutes? Did you do something that got you 20 minutes? Why are you getting 20 minutes compared to 40 minutes? Or how does this session differ from the last time? What are you going to do to make a change for the next time? So it's a higher order thinking in terms of them looking at their results and saying, that worked, that didn't work, what do I need to do?
So what we're going to do now is just kind of show you how it works. So if you can see up on the screen here, we have three, and actually Neil too, he's
so nice to volunteer.
Neil has one on.
Come on,
this is what happens when you come to meetings too early.
So the nice thing about this program too, and you can see at the bottom, you can slide your target for, you know, we always have schedule changes for this, that, or the other thing, whether it's, you know, a club day or something like that. So if our class isn't long enough, typically we do a 40-minute session, but if our class isn't long enough, we might set it up for 30 minutes. But I'm going to set this one up for 10, because it's a little shorter. And we set it up for the performance zone, which is actually, it starts at 70%, but it goes to 100. The reason why we set it for that one is because any other one that we would set it for would penalize them if they went above 85%. So then what happens is typically the students are already in here, but because I gave them all different numbers, I'm going to add them. So together.
While she's doing that, typically what happens is this, it's such a well-oiled machine. We have our fourth block has 100 kids, 100 plus kids. And when they walk into the gym, all of these, Chance, can you hold up the packet with the transmitters in it?
Yeah.
So we have these laying on the table outside the gym, 120 of them. The students walk by, they pull out their number, they walk into the locker room, they change, they have their straps. Can you hold up an empty strap that no one has on their body? They pick up, they each have their own strap, they snap the sensor right to their strap, they wet it a little bit, they come out to the gym. When they come out to the gym, this screen will be up on the gym wall. If they have a green check, they're good to go. They wet it enough, they tightened it enough, we're getting a reading from them. If it doesn't have a green check, here's another problem solving. They kind of figure it out themselves. They'll go back in, they'll re-wet it, they'll tighten it, they'll check their strap. They come back out. After a couple times, then they'll come to us. What's wrong? I can't. It's probably a dead battery. The strap might be bad. Every student gets their own strap. They keep it for the marking for the half of the year that they have phys ed, and then they turn it back into us. So maybe their strap is just worn out. We get a new strap, change the battery. We've never really had an issue where we can't ever get a green check. So then once all of our students have green checks, except for the ones that are absent, we're ready to start our class. Let's say my students want to go over into the fitness center and my iPad stays in the gym because the majority of my students are in the gym, but I have three, hey, can I run the treadmill? They'll go over to the weight room and they may add their names to Mrs. Palmer's iPad. So where you see the little student with the plus, the students know how to do this. They're better than we are. They click the plus, they find their name, find their sensor, and they go hop on the treadmill. They're ready to go. So it's pretty cool. There are four or five iPads going at the same time. They just have to make sure that they can see their name up on the screen.
The other thing that they can do is they can use their phone. So Chance is actually hooked up. Yeah, you can walk around. Chance is actually hooked up to his phone. It's called Polar Beat. It's a free app. It has both an Android and also one for the app for the iPhones. And basically, it allows them to have a little bit more freedom. So if they want to go out and they want to run on the track, it will pick them up all the way around, not just on the sides. They can run a perimeter. Gives them a little bit more freedom to be able to do that. The other day, we had a fire drill. And a couple students, once we were out there, we were waiting. They're like, you know what? I think I want to stay out on the track. I'm like, do you have the app? I'm like, great, you know? So they can stay out there and do their fitness together out there.
A nice thing about having it on your phone, too, and I don't know if Chance ever does this, but you can go in and look at all your results. You can see exactly what you're doing. You have all the feedback that the program is giving you.
Right now, you can just walking and probably
not very much.
You got the text from somewhere.
What's that?
Wait,
I'm student net.
Okay, so.
This brings technology into play, too. We're trying to use a lot of technology. So, this is what will come up on the screen.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
All right. I'm Curry Scores.
And you are in what grade?
I'm a freshman. I'm Taylor Martin, and I'm a senior.
And you are?
I'm Chance Norris, I'm a senior.
So what will come up on the screen is, and this is what it usually looks like, however, there's a lot more boxes on the screen usually. This is the full class of students. And what happens is, as long as you see that green check, like Julie said, then they're in. Now, once they're in, we'll have students say, oh, well, I don't have a heart rate. And so you just swipe it over here, and you can read their heart rates. So, see, Neil, you're not that worked up.
Yeah, look, you're relaxed.
He's going down. He's back.
four and above. So we show them, they say it's not working. We say, that's because you're 120. You're not moving hard enough. It needs to. And when they see this screen, they're like, oh, you're right. Let's go, Neil.
Am I supposed to do this?
Yes.
Oh, Neil.
Jumping jacks, push ups. Questions for the students?
It's impressive. It's very impressive.
I think we should give them a round of applause.
Students, what do you guys want to shout out about Harvey Monitors? Can you each say one thing? I know you were expecting, you didn't have anything planned, but.
I think it's a good challenge. If you're in shape, it's definitely a good challenge. Like right now, I'm in the best shape that I am all year because it's off season. But so it's definitely challenging for me to keep it up. But I think for the effort into it, it's definitely worth it. And I like knowing that I got a good workout in during the class.
And this is the first time she's ever experienced it because she's a ninth grader. So it'll be interesting to compare to what the seniors say.
I love Harvey Monitors, which is really weird, but it's a good way to like be able to do different activities, like they said. With like, I love floor hockey, and that definitely keeps the heart rate up. It's so like aggressive, I love it. And it's funny how like, so freshman year was 20 minutes, I think. We had these watches, and it was just, I didn't like those. And then it went up to 30 minutes, and then 40. I don't know. I love Harvey Monitors. I think they're fun.
I definitely, you know, I don't always want to do it, but you know, you don't always want to be in school either. But I know when I'm doing them, I'm getting a good workout in. I know I'm gonna get in better shape doing it, and it's a great tool to use to help get in shape and better your physical fitness.
So I have a question. This could really be responsive, but I had a parent talk to me about heart rate monitors recently, and the fact that their child also participates in sports after school. So maybe you could speak to the fact of, you know, doing heart rate monitors during the day, and like for someone who's in shape, like you said, it's the best time of the year, you're in shape, you probably have to work harder potentially during class,
yeah,
and then go to practice or an event sometime after school. How does that impact you?
Personally, I have a pretty good recovery. Like, I can recover well from workouts, but if I have a game after school, then sometimes it makes me, like, a little nervous doing them, so I want to tire myself out. But, I mean, it's only 40 minutes. Like, if it was maybe a little longer and you have to go all out the entire time, I might not be as big of a fan of the idea of it. But
I actually, on a game day, I remember you were on the treadmill, and I said, ease up the other game because she's in rep. So her mentality is, I'm going to go hard and I'm going to do what I need to do, and then I'm going to be a tough athlete and I'm going to go out there mentally and participate. Like, she's one that I have to say, hold back. Yeah. Speaking from an anatomy and physiology standpoint, unless you are doing heart rate monitors fourth block as hard as you possibly can, and then your events at 4 o'clock. That's not a big recovery time, but if they're doing it at 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and they have a game at 7 o'clock at night, or 5 o'clock, or even 4 o'clock, a high school student should have plenty of time physiologically to recover from that. As long, you know, they're eating the proper diet, and if they're mentally, if they're into it, they're going to be able to want to have the desire to work hard in their athletic event as well as. I mean, I don't think we're asking kids to go club. We were athletes. I was a cross-country runner. She played hockey. You know, we get it. We definitely get it. I just think sometimes students don't look at the aspect, this is going to make me better all around. This is going to make me a better person. It's going to make me more competitive. It's going to enhance my athletic performance. You know, we're not going to be jerks. If you have a race at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, cross country is a big one. You know, we have a couple kids that have it at 4 o'clock. Sure, we're going to be reasonable about that. We've come up with an option for a couple of kids, 20-20, where they do 20 minutes instead of 40. And then they have to develop a program that's going to make them a better athlete or make them better, well-rounded. Maybe a balance program on a BOSU ball. Maybe a stretching program. Maybe a lifting program. Now, they don't want to lift hard at their game. But they can develop a program, write it down for us, and we have maybe 4 students taking advantage of that as well.
So I know these 3 students, and this isn't an effort for them. But, I mean, they enjoy it, but how do you – so not every student wants to be. And so how do you use this tool, one, as a motivation, and then 2, what's the grading scale? Is there a baseline, and then they have to reach a certain percentage above that? And what are those measurements as far as how
I don't know if you're aware, we have a non-competitive phys ed class, and we have a competitive phys ed class. We started that, this is the third year. I start out my day every day with my non-competitive phys ed class, and they are sweethearts. Not athletes at all, but they bust their butts. And when I said we were gonna go for a bike ride, they were so excited. So it doesn't matter what athletic ability, they work extremely hard. And you don't have phys ed at the same time they do, so you can't really talk about that. They're a fitness and weight training class. So
they probably have a little bit of perspective in your class. You have a range of students.
Right, so it doesn't matter what shape you're in. I think the non-competitive kids are so excited about Harvey Meyer. Same like she said, floor hockey. If we put out the floor hockey for Harvey Meyer, did those non-competitive kids turn competitive? And they get in the zone, like they get fired up. In terms of grading, Colleen can talk about this, 40, they get a score out of 40 minutes. So if they have 37 and 48 seconds, we give them a 38 out of 40. We round anything above 30 minutes up. So their grade is out of 40 minutes. They get a 40 out of 40, that's 100%. You know, they decide they don't feel like doing it that day and they only get 20 minutes. They know that when they walk out of the gym because they see the screen and they know they're getting a 20 out of 40. So we don't have too many students that are like that, to be honest with you. I think most kids, I would say 90% of my students, 95%, I mean, there's not one freshman I have that does not try at this ever. So it's pretty good. I think the expectations are set where we want them, and I think the programming, this is her, she's done it four times, and that's her attitude. I just met her at the beginning of the school year. I've never knew her before. So, yeah, I think we set the expectations that we want you to get 40 minutes, and that's what you're aiming for.
And I think when we talk about, an athlete working harder versus a non-athlete not working quite as hard, it's relative to their cardiovascular. So when you say, oh, it doesn't look, and some people may look at it going, well, here's a student, she's walking on an incline on the treadmill, but she's in her zone. And then, you know, chances like trying to do every single activity in the fitness center, oh, I'm going to do this, now I'm going to do this. It's relative to their fitness level. So I think, you know, when they say, oh, that's not fair, they're working harder, it's very much based on the fit, your fitness.
We like to use the analogy, and I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, I'm married to a math teacher, but we say if you're an honors math student, you're not taking the same class as a lower level math student. That honors student's expected to do a little bit more. So they should be the leaders in the school. I don't think I've ever heard Chance say, why does Tom only have to do that? Why does Sally only? He busts his butt because he knows he has to bust his butt. Like, be worried about yourself. And I say, that's a good problem to have. Don't you want to have the problem that you have to work hard because your body is so well conditioned that you have to work that hard to get where you need to be? That's a good problem to have. That's the problem you're having in high school, that's great. Yeah, so I think a lot of it has to do with attitude and how you look at things. He doesn't necessarily like it, but we don't like everything. We may not like math, we may not like English. This is just a part of our class that we really feel strongly about.
And the piece of it, too, is what can you take from this so that when you leave here, you know what it feels like to work in your zone, to really be able to say, hey, this is how hard I need to work, this is what it needs to feel like, so that I can get some health benefits out of this type of workout. So obviously not everybody's going to say, yes, I want to buy one of these when I leave here. You know, there'll be a few that are actually interested in it. But, you know, there's such a push, and you guys probably all know, you know, the Fitbit and this and that. And how can we be motivated? How can we see our progress and say this is great? I know the app actually has some really cool stuff on it. I don't know if you've actually really checked it out, but I mean, it shows speed versus progression. It shows heart rate versus pace. I mean,
there's
shows
a lot of stuff. There's a lot of cool things you can do with it. Just sit down and play with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right, when you have a little time, your free time, right?
Yeah. I can't say enough as a superintendent. When we talk about customized learning, we talk about student-centered programming, this is an exemplar program, if you think about it. I mean, the whole idea of students getting to choose what they do in PE to align with what their comforts are and what their likes are. You know, when I had PE, and we all have our stories, my PE teacher was the wrestling coach. We did wrestling 5 months out of the 9. That's how it was. And I didn't like wrestling. I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a wrestler's body. So it's nice. The other thing that's alleviated here for the most part is the whole who gets chosen last for the team, because the competition piece isn't there. You know, that's another icon from the old day of PE, is the heavy set kid standing on the wall going in last, or the one who wasn't coordinated. You know, I'm a little sore about that still, getting picked last. So there's so much here that's student-centered, and that's lifelong fitness, as Colleen was just describing. This is an awesome program, and I'm thrilled to have the students and the teachers share with me this evening. Thank you very much.
I did want to make one other comment. We don't do this every day. So our competitive students and our non-competitive students have phys ed 5 days a week every day. The ninth graders have it every other day. We are currently in our football unit, and I will tell you that our competitive students are probably, I would be willing to place money on it, I know that's illegal, but that they are working way harder than they do on Harvey Meyer. I mean, these kids are sprinting down the field, the quarterbacks throw the ball, and the kids just lay out for the ball. They go so hard when we're playing football, but they don't think about it because I think there's such a stigma with, oh my gosh, I have my heart rate monitor on, I hate this. Where if we were strapping on them every day, they'd be amazed at how hard they're working on the days we're playing football. I'm blown away by how these kids, girls and boys, we're doing a little fantasy football, and this is kind of an extra phys ed thing, where we give out all the names of the students to the teachers. The teachers pick fantasy teams. They pick 5 girls, 5 boys. And then we're keeping all of the stats for these kids. So the kids are going to the teachers and saying, hey, I scored 5 touchdowns. I had 3 receptions. The teachers are yelling at the students, you better score for me. But the kids are working hard, and they don't have heart rate monitors on. They don't realize that because they're out there having fun. If we actually strapped it on them those days, they probably would be higher than the days we're asking them to be in their zone. We played soccer this year, same class. They're all over the place out there on that field. So they're working hard every day.
How often do you do the heart rate?
Twice a week. Ninth graders, once a week, because they only meet every other day. So some weeks they only have it Tuesday, Thursday.
I would also like to make a comment back on your previous question about kids who have sports. You know, the kids on the wrestling team, they'll be doing heart rate monitors the day we have matches. They'll be in there in sweatpants doing them, and they don't care. They know they have a match, and they have to compete, but they'll do them anyway. Yeah, they don't have an excuse for that.
Chris, you said you play field hockey. The other, either one of you, play any other sports?
I play softball, so, doesn't typically need a lot of physical demand, but in regards, so I don't just play school, I play travel softball, and I've actually played in Nook, and our practices are pretty intense, but so I'll go to school, and then say I have heart rate monitors during gym class, and then after school, I go to work where I'm on my feet all day, and then I'll go straight from work, and then I go to practice at Nook, which is like still demanding, so my days are very long, but I would never say that heart rate monitors take like that, really put me over the edge, I'm so tired. Because then I go home and do homework, and then, take a shower, eat dinner, go to bed, and repeat. So they don't really make their days that long.
I'm on the wrestling team. I wrestle year-round, train year-round to be in great cardiovascular shape. And this is a great tool for me to use during gym class to actually see that I'm pushing my body to be better.
Plus, if you need to pull weight that day.
Then they'll really commit with bags on and sweats.
A couple sweatshirts, sweatpants, and they're good to go.
Thank you very much. Thank
all of you have an open invitation anytime.
Yes.
If you're interested in coming, we would love for you to come and watch. It's a pretty impressive undertaking.
Organized chaos.
Just send us an email. Yeah. We'll tell you what blocks or what day we're doing it that week. We can strap one on you, and you can mix it up with the students.
Hey Chris, what position do you play in field hockey?
I'm a left midfield.
Well, you got a lot of running here.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I also play year-round, and I do track as well.
Yeah, I can relate to my daughter.
That's awesome.
All
right.
Thank you. Nice job.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's great.
Would anybody
like any? Wow. I got it.
log back in here. So we have the personnel report, which hopefully everybody had a chance to look over. We look for a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
All right. Any other discussion on the personnel report? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The personnel report is approved. Property and services, Mr. Rand.
Yes, thank you. We have two action items for next Monday night. The first action item is the snow removal contract with Usner Excavating for the next 3 years. As you know, the last couple years we did do an RFP. We solicited quotes. Usner Excavating on all the occasions has come under very much well under the other proposals. They're proposing not to increase prices from last year and also to lock that in for 3 years. So Neil and I would like to recommend that we go with Osner for all of our locations for 2015, 2016, 2017.
Good. Hopefully they won't have anything to file.
For what it's worth, from my perspective as superintendent, I love Osner. They are on the spot. The one worry I don't have generally is that parking lots will be ready. They're on it. And they've served us extremely well. I wish someone was here other than Heather to hear that from the public, because they really do. They do a great job.
All right, very good.
Okay, our next action item is to discuss the additional fund balance that we're going to have at the end of 14-15. The auditors are currently on site this month, we would like to give them some direction on which way to go with the fall through for 14-15. Everyone should have a copy of the attachment. If you wanted to click on the attachment and bring it up, you'll see that we did have another very good year this year. What I like to do is I did give from the expenditure side and the revenue side, each item kind of where they came in and kind of an explanation of why. You'll see that the expenditures came in pretty close on target with what we budgeted from the expenditure side. We did have two areas that I wanted to mention where we had the expenditures come in under budget. One was the debt refunding. As you know, we refund debt to save interest. That typically comes in the first year of the refunding, which was about $200,000. Savings, one-time savings. The other item is our IU special ed contract. We typically budget for that, lock in our contract for the following year, and then typically over the summer is when we find out, you know, how we did compared to what we estimated. Not only just from our numbers from an attendance perspective, but also the IU then looks at their actual costs, calculates the cost per student on an actual basis. So from that perspective, we came in $120,000 under budget. And our budget was about $350,000 that year. So it was a considerable amount under budget. Really, we're going to see a lot of the changes is in the revenues. The real estate taxes came in about $189,000 over budget. I did make mention there, as you know, there's a pending assessment appeal out there for about $160,000 or so that could potentially reduce our real estate revenue. So we, as you know, we incorporated that in last year and this year just in case, depending on where that falls out. So again, if nothing happens this year or comes in less, we'll see another amount coming in over our budget. Earned income tax, as we discussed during our budget negotiations this year, we continually budget what the Tax Bureau proposes us to budget. They projected us to come in, you know, see a reduction. We actually were pretty stable this past year from the previous year, about $3.4 million. Did not see the huge reduction that they initially anticipated. I actually actually have a meeting this week where they're going to go over our projections for next year, take a look at where we are. So my hopes is that we'll be able to see some increase in that net for next year as well. But as you know, we did increase the budget $300,000 in our 15-16 budget in that line item. The next one, local services tax, came in about the same as last year. It's about $160,000 in total, which was about $30,500 over what we budgeted. Real estate transfer taxes, that's one that we're starting to see some movement there. We're up about $50,000 over the previous year. We're hoping, as we keep an eye out this year, we're hoping that that will continue. Delinquent real estate taxes, we're up about $100,000 over last year. The total outstanding has decreased, as you know, as we turn them over and they're getting caught up. We're going to see some revenues coming in, but it won't be continual. The last item is a special education tuition. This is very similar with the earned income tax. It's kind of like catch-up. We are actually, this current school year, we are full, so we have no more slots available for any more students. So we'll probably see a small increase this year over past year in our budget. As you know, we did increase our 15-16 budget $350,000 over the 14-15. So it's kind of like, on the one-year catch-up over time. So again, we had a really good year, and our recommendation, as you know, we have a couple different options, but we would like to recommend that we keep $500,000 in the general fund to increase our amount for technology and put the balance into our capital reserve fund for any type of future improvements that will come down the road. Very similar to what we did with the Bretmar project, having enough funds in that capital reserve so that we could pay cash versus borrowing money and incurring issuance and interest costs. So any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
The only question I have ongoing, local services tax, what's that cost all?
That's the, typically, it's the $52 that you see coming off the paycheck. For a while there, for us, it was the occupational privilege tax, then it was emergency municipal services tax, then it was local services. Ours is $10, the $10 tax, and municipalities is $42. I think most of ours do assess that. I think one or two do not.
The balance in the money that we put back for the pension increases, you're not thinking of putting any into that?
No, I think from our perspective, you know, we can always reallocate money from one commitment to another if we want. I know we continually have more and more requests for technology. We have just over 4 million NRPs. As you know, we did not balance our budget. We did use some fund outs this year for PZERS, but we're hoping that, we're hoping they'll have another good year this year. I mean, the state budget, we don't know what's going to come out of that. We didn't put anything in there for an increase. With our earned income tax, you can kind of see where we are, and with the special ed, we'll hopefully have another good year this year, that depending on where the legislators go with any type of pension reform, we can adjust that next year. But at this point, we didn't really want to put any more in there at that time. Pretty much, we have one more spike year, which is 16-17, and then we kind of got small increases there. So I think there's enough in there to kind of help phase that in.
The debt that we have total right now, how much do you know about what we have?
It's actually, I'm not sure the right off the top of my head.
I can find it
if you want it, but it's actually 2022-23 is when it's going to be completely paid off.
Right.
It's about to net, when you look at the expense, it's about $2.8 million a year.
Okay.
So we're about 20 or 21 or so. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe the interest involved. So we get enough in the cap reserve fund.
That's what I'm thinking. We'll get to that point where we
try.
think it's worth noting, and you know, compliments to Keith for coming up on this side of the line as opposed to the other, because a lot of schools are on the other right now. I think the stewardship of this board several years ago has paid tremendous dividends, put us in the position that we're in. Should also be noted, and Keith said it, but I wanted to underscore it, the budget came in around where we budgeted. The expenditure was right on. It's the revenue that's up, and we budgeted the revenue just a little bit on the side of aggressive. So even with a slightly aggressive bend towards our revenues, revenues came in even higher. So that's a good sign for our local economy, and certainly a good sign for our school district that we're in the position that we're in. And it's the efforts of a lot of people that put us there, and it's worth noting. So thank you, and again, compliments to Keith for keeping us in a good seat here.
Just to answer Mr. Yoder's question, at the end of the June 30th, 2015, our principal outstanding is $23,620,000, and when you add the interest of about $2.5 million, we're about $26.2 million. So if we were to pay off everything, we'd be $23,620,000.
But we're at.
And if we would put over, we'd be about $4.5 million in the cap reserve.
For Property and Services Committee. Okay. The Program Committee, we had one portion of that already, but what else do you have?
Okay, this evening I have two action items. The first one is to approve me signing a coaching contract with IU13 for the pieces listed below. It does focus mostly in our classrooms with vocational learning, which is grades 1 through 9 in most areas. This is part of the professional development budget, so we have this in here in the budget already. However, in previous years, we've also worked with Delaware Strategies, which is part of the PA Hybrid Learning Initiative, and we weren't necessarily feeling that we were getting as much as we should have out of their services. The IU has always been very supportive and provided services for us in a tailored fashion that met our needs, not the needs of a larger program. So this is a one-year contract. It is for 106 days. We've already started some of the teacher time in providing initial training for those teachers where this was a newer concept. I can say that rotational learning in some way, shape, or form has always been happening at the elementary level, whether we call it stations or whether we call it centers. These were happening. These things were happening. We're just, at this point, trying to be very purposeful in the use of our technology that we've spent a lot of time and energy in acquiring, and also helping to increase especially the collaborative station, which is a project-based learning area. So this would be the purpose of this contract with them. Any questions?
Oh, I have a question. Is this like an ongoing yearly contract, or is this a train-the-trainer kind of?
It's more of a train-the-trainer. We have two tech coaches, Tim Leister and Lynn Marie Hilt. We're also working, there's some teachers that have really been very interested in taking this on, so they would also be supports in the classroom and in the buildings once these trainers are, or once the IU is finished. The second action item is a settlement agreement for educational expenses for students with special needs. And we've worked through that with the parents and here at the school, and just need your approval for that. Okay. And last but not least, I have an information item, which is a new first unit, and I could actually read it still, so congratulations to my German teacher way back when. But I couldn't go much further than that. Our last textbook purchase for German books was in 2003, and they are now out of print. We have a German teacher who was new last year and a new German teacher this year, and so they are requesting new textbooks. I did ask Mr. Winters if there was any way that there was something online that we could use.
Okay, that was my question. Of course, I knew that was coming.
Well, I'm really, don't necessarily want to buy textbooks, but there was nothing that was online. This does have an online component, though, so we could use that as well. The cost is really certainly minimal. It's minus $3,000. So I have the first book, and if you are interested in looking at it, you certainly can try your German luck as well.
Kannst du sprechen zu Deutsch?
Tom will read it.
There you go, Tom. You can do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Tom will read it.
Anyone else?
I'll pull one for you.
There you go. You can do that. This will be an action item next month.
Okay. Tom, can you read it and give us a summary?
Translate
it.
Give us a synopsis.
That'd be interesting.
Cliff notes.
So if there are no questions, then it's my report.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the program committee? All right, management.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first action item I have is the approval of some basically chaperones for our volunteers for the PIAA sanctioned swimming events. This is a yearly thing that we do. We typically have to find someone, or typically someone steps up that we have to approve. I've got to provide a letter for them so that they are officially representing the school at these events so that the kids can participate. The second action item I'll bring to you next week. After sort of some background information was shared with our solicitor, Mr. Litz did some additional investigating, I'm prepared to make a recommendation to the board to have all funds stop, all expenses, outgoing funds to EduPlus, the local cyber charter school, to stop indefinitely. I'll have the wording for you next week specific to that, based on the fact that the charter school, the cyber charter school, is violating the charter that gives you permission to operate here. This is the charter school that is affiliated with Kabat Academy here in Tampa. And just any questions or comments? The one additional information item that I've added to the agenda here that you do not see, we were contacted by the state police, and as a part of their increased patrol and safety for schools, they have picked a day next Wednesday to have state police cars, either marked or unmarked, follow buses for a while, the buses that experience the most traffic violations from automobiles, not from the buses themselves. So they'll be basically tailing our buses just to see what kind of violations they discover. There's a complete schedule. They're working with a number of different school districts and have let us know that they're going to work specifically with Brecknock Elementary School, and they're communication with Mrs. Anderson to choose what buses they hope to pick up. They literally are going to just sort of slide up and sneak in behind them and see what they see. So it's nice that the state police are supporting us in that way. I think people are often surprised how often vehicles violate what's happening with our school buses, running the lights or trying to get around them and those kinds of things. So we appreciate the support of the state police on that one. And the only other thing I have, Mr. Johnson, make sure that we get an executive session. I know Mr. Yoder announced it. We also need an executive session, a very brief one, for a personnel matter immediately following this board meeting. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. And I'm assuming you'll report back to us on the state police. I'm sure they'll it'd be interesting to see what kind of things he observes. Any other announcements for the general board? Okay. We look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.